Radio Prague News.
Defense Minister Alexander Vondra is on a morale-boosting visit to the Czech contingent in Afghanistan. Czech police are set to charge a German citizen for acts of hate speech at a gathering of far-right extremists that took place in Brno in May, and police have arrested 5 men and women suspected of growing large amounts of marijuana in the Pardubice region. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra is in Afghanistan on what is being described as a morale-boosting visit to the Czech contingent. The country currently has 720 soldiers stationed in the provinces of Vardak and Logar, where they have recently come under increased attacks from insurgents. The minister is accompanied by Army Chief of Staff Vlastimil Picek and the Czech ambassador to the U.S. Petr Gandalovic. No details of the visit have been released for security reasons. A German citizen who participated in a May 1st gathering of far-right extremists in Brno will be charged for hate speech by Czech police. He is facing a prison sentence of up to 5 years if found guilty. The German man, a member of the far-right party NPD, was speaking to a group of right-wing extremists in the Czech city in German. A tape of the speech was later analyzed by an expert who found several passages were in conflict with Czech law. Some 400 extremists had participated in the gathering on May 1, 2011, and 10 participators are currently facing criminal investigation. Police arrested a group of 5 suspected of growing large amounts of marijuana in the Pardubice and Chudim regions. They face prison sentences of up to 12 years. According to investigating officers, the arrest is one of the biggest crackdowns on drug-related crime to ever be accomplished in the region. The group of 3 men and 2 women had been operating out of 3 houses across the region since 2008. Police confiscated some 5,000 marijuana plants, 2 cars, several 100,000 Czech crowns, as well as growing equipment. 2 people were killed and 6 injured when 2 passenger cars collided on a motorway between Holice and Hradec Králové on Sunday. According to a police spokeswoman, 1 passenger died at the site of the accident, while another succumbed to their injuries in a nearby hospital. 3 children were among those injured. This weekend, 8 people died in accidents on Czech roads. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. The start of the week brings a drop in temperatures by about 10 degrees Celsius, with daytime highs of up to 20 degrees and rain. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Tension is ratcheted up again in North Bohemia as the police are called in to deal with another anti-Romani demonstration. More on that in a moment. And in one-on-one, it's all about beer, as Chris Johnson talks to Jan Veselý, Director General of the Czech Beer and Malt Association. No wonder his name translates as jolly and happy. Plus our regular Monday sports roundup and a chance to brush up those Czech language skills in soundcheck. More of that coming up on Radio Prague. The security situation in parts of North Bohemia, where tension between the Roma and non-Roma communities has been rising for weeks, failed to improve at the weekend. In fact, just the opposite. An illegal demonstration against the Roma community again tested the police, who on Saturday blocked almost 1,000 participants from making their way to a local Roma settlement. Allegedly organised by a neo-Nazi group, the protest is seen as evidence that extremist groups are trying to exploit the deteriorating situation for their own ends. Jan Wellinger has the story.
The situation in several towns in North Bohemia, Varnsdorf, Rumburg, Schluknov, has been described as increasingly explosive, and there were signs at the weekend things are only getting worse. Since tensions flared up over an increase in local violence there in recent weeks, police in riot gear have been out in force to prevent incidents between local Roma and non-Roma from getting out of hand. The picture at the weekend, though, was far from pretty. On Saturday, hundreds of people in Varnsdorf took part in a demonstration organized by a neo-Nazi group to march to a local Roma area. 10 participants were charged with misdemeanors and 4 with crimes, including the propagation of Nazism. A woman wearing a pro-Hitler t-shirt, if found guilty, could receive up to 3 years in prison. Police spokeswoman Jaroslava Hrubešová described additional incidents.
There were people who tried to attack police officers who vandalized a police vehicle or refused a police order.
According to the police and extremism experts, the most recent demonstration, and one planned for next weekend by the ultra-right-wing Workers' Party for Social Justice, is evidence that extremist organizations are trying to manipulate and escalate tension for their own ends, while benefiting from increased media attention. On Sunday, Deputy Police President Vladislav Husák suggested on Czech TV that one danger was that the kind of intolerance and anger now visible in North Bohemia could spread.
The situation, which has grown worse over the summer in the Schluknov area, could, under certain impulses and with the passing of time, crop up in other parts of the Czech Republic.
While the police weigh their options and consider where to redouble their efforts, some sources reported that politicians are hoping that current anger between the Roma and non-Roma communities will eventually boil over. Public broadcaster Czech TV, for example, stressed that Prime Minister Petr Nečas is putting stock in the government's social reforms to improve the situation, slashing benefits that until now have easily been abused. Proposed, for example, are strict limits to receiving welfare. The argument goes that some complaints between communities will level off once the reforms kick in. The opposition Social Democrats, though, strongly against plans by the current government, are far from convinced, arguing that the problem of intolerance, mistrust, and potential violence on a rise in North Bohemia will not be solved by repressive measures alone.
Jan Wellinger there with the heightening tensions in North Bohemia. And it was a busy weekend of sport, with much of the attention being hogged by the Czech football team and their controversial 2-2 draw in Scotland in the European 2012 qualifiers. Well, it was controversial if you were a Scot, at least. The British media have been raging since the full-time whistle about Dutch referee Kevin Blom's decision to award a last-minute penalty to the Czechs, gratefully converted by Michal Katletz, and then to disallow similar claims at the other end. Coach Michal Bilek gave first caps to midfielder Petr Jiráček and Jan Laštůvka, the Dnipro goalkeeper, who was a surprise deputy for the injured Petr Cech ahead of the more experienced Jaroslav Drobný of Hamburg. The game started brightly for the Czechs, although Galatasaray striker Milan Baroš was guilty of an outrageous miss early on when he side-footed a Jiráček cross over the Scottish bar from only around 10 metres out. It all turned to gloom for the Czechs, though, when Miller raced through to score for Scotland shortly before half-time. Although Laštůvka got a foot to the shot, many observers felt he should have done a lot better. The main drama was left for the final quarter hour, though. Plaschil deflected home a Rezek cross to equalise on 78 minutes, before Manchester United's Darren Fletcher seemed to have secured the 3 points for Scotland with a cool finish from close range 5 minutes later. Then it was to the final minutes of drama, and Rezek was involved again, appearing to go down cheaply after a challenge from Scotland's Danny Wilson, leading to Cadlet's point-saving penalty. So 2-2, and it was a fair result, according to captain Tomáš Rosický.
We were, of course, better, and we were all working for each other. We showed that when we are put under pressure, we can still put in a good performance. And that's a good quality to have.
Coach Bilek seemed on the whole satisfied with the result and the Czech performance, save for a couple of misses and mistakes.
During the match, we were passing the ball around much better than our opponents. We missed a real chance and then made a couple of defensive errors. This was a big deal because it's not easy in such a match to attack. However, we are happy and I think that we have managed a great position in our table.
The result leaves the Czech team odds on to finish runners-up in Group I. They have 10 points from 6 games, with a 5-point lead over Scotland, albeit having played a game extra. Moving on to cycling, and it was a great weekend for Yaroslav Kulhavy, who raced to his first ever elite men's cross-country world championship on Saturday afternoon in Champéry, Switzerland. The victory rounds off a perfect season for the Czech, and on the back of his World Cup overall title that he won 2 weeks ago in Val de Solaire. The victory rounds off a perfect season for the Czech on the back of his World Cup overall title that he won 2 weeks ago in Val di Solaire. Former world champion Nino Schutter of Switzerland took the silver, while another world champion, Julien Absalon of France, got the bronze. "It's an incredible season for me, the best of my life," said Kulhavy. "It's like what Julien did. I hope I will be the best like him. My future is just beginning. I think the Olympics will be a good race for me. I hope to get a medal." From the start, it was a contest of 6 men: Kulhavy, Schutter, Florian Vogel of Switzerland, Absalon, José Antonio Hermidio of Spain, and Maxime Marot of France. The group formed on the start loop, and those who missed it were out of medal contention for the duration. Kulhavy led the field for most of the race, one that was notable for a spectacular crash and fall involving the rider Julien Absalon that knocked the Frenchman out of the field. Afterwards, Kulhavy admitted that he didn't feel great early on, but he tore away from Schutter with around 1.5 laps to go. On to tennis. For one final note, Tomas Berdych remains 9th in the latest ATP rankings despite his early elimination from the US Open. And that was the sport here on Radio Prague for this week, for today. And moving on, time for one-on-one. Now, one man who probably more than anyone else can claim to represent one of the Czech Republic's biggest success stories, beer, is Jan Veselý, General Director of the Czech Beer and Malt Association. The association groups the biggest Czech breweries and hop producers. In today's programme, Mr. Veselý talks about the massive changes he's witnessed in the industry, which have moved from the planned economy to privatisation and the takeoff of microbreweries. Jan Veselý is in conversation with Chris Johnston.
I met up with Jan Veselý in the Beer and Malt Association's Central Prague headquarters, above its own microbrewery and restaurant, which serves a selection of special beers brewed on the premises. It was through these doors that Mr. Veselý, trained in economics, accounting and finance, came in the late 1970s, not really knowing what he was letting himself in for or suspecting how long he would stay. I asked him, first of all, how he came to start in the brewing industry.
It was by chance, as usually it happens in human being lives. I simply was found by headhunters, you know, because in the former socialist times, there was an administrative directive model of such a pyramid, you know, in every industry, beer industry, sugar industry, poultry, meat, and so on, there it was organized pyramidally with one headquarter. And that headquarter that was running the beer business was seeking for a chief of financing department. And I simply came in. When I was addressed by the headhunters, I didn't know that it's brewing. It was just a, you know, nutrition and beverage, some industry, and it was very anonymous. I came to this very building we are sitting now, and since that time, I remember it very well. It's 33 years from now. Still remember that feeling. It was 1st or 2nd of January, beginning of the year, short after Christmas, and I was feeling enthusiasm and some special atmosphere that was here. And since that time, I enjoy it. I never, ever, even for a second. One second, I didn't feel any, I would say, non-comfortable feelings, whatever. I'm happy, still happy, as I was 33 years ago that I entered this industry, because it is special industry. I can feel it in the pan-European and global level. Even there it is special, but even more special in this country, where it is something like a religion.
How is the business different then? It must have been very, very different then, 30 years ago, to what it is now.
You know, that time was Marxism, political economy theories in practice. And so the priority in development were having heavy industry, chemical industry, nuclear energy industry, and so on, so on. And all the resources, national resources, were focused there. And the beer was the, you know, Cinderella on the very, very tail of all that, you know. CapEx were extremely poor. And so I have to say that technically, beer industry in that times, in some break of 70s and 80s, last century, it was in very poor technical shape. There were some 95, 97 breweries, hardly surviving. Old-fashioned, old brew houses, you know, no stainless steel, you know. Every brewmaster was some kind of magician, just to keep the ball rolling, you know. It wasn't easy. As for the technical shape, it was poor, with some exceptions. There were 2-3 breweries that were privileged. It means Pilsner Urquell, Budweiser Budvar, and it was all. This is first feature. Very bad technical shape. Second feature was that the distribution of beer, it wasn't sales. It wasn't commercial activity with marketing and everything. It was just real distribution. And the only 6 breweries were having 6 brands, were having the chance to be national brands, to be widespread their distribution. It was Pilsner Urquell, Budvar, Budweiser Budvar, Gambrinus, Stará Pramen in Prague, Velkopopovický Kozel near Prague, and Radegast in Northern Moravia. Just these 6 brands. It was politically controlled. Regional organizations of the Communist Party, before Christmas, before Easter, because 1st of May, 9th of May, which was the Liberation Day, and 28th of October, which was the founding day of Czechoslovakia, and so on. It was politically controlled that working class must get beer. And there were meetings, and every director was saying, yes, we prepared all the bread and rolls. Yes, we prepared all the beer. Yes, yes. It was politically, it was extremely closely watched.
After the communists ended, you were soon after involved in the privatization of some of the breweries. Looking back on that period, do you have some regrets about some of the breweries that disappeared, or do you think the overall trend, privatization, was a good thing?
You know, in year 1900, before First World War, in this country was around 1,000 breweries. In the time of Velvet Revolution in 1989, it was some 97. The process of concentration is going on for centuries. It's just a trend. It had to happen. It would happen even if there were no political changes and whatever, you know. Regret, you know, it's difficult to say, but I must say, beer business in this country is still not only surviving, but blossoming, quite spreading. And we only feel last 2 years, this year and the year 2009, decline of consumption because of crisis and whatever, but to the 2008, it was constant increase. Increasing, huge, you know, updating technical and modern, you know, equipment or whatever. Second, huge increase of exports. We increased exports 3 times, you know, since revolution, and so on. But it was connected with continuing concentration. As I said, some 97 breweries. Now it's some 47. 50 breweries disappeared. Mainly because of, you know, it was a very difficult period after that revolution. Everything was Now, all that pyramidal system disappeared. Every brewery was relatively independent, you know. But directors of the breweries were fermentation chemists, you know, and directors of meat industry were butchers and so on. So they had no experience in law, in economies, in financing, in licensing, in whatever, you know. And so they started invest because it was now, everything was open. And people, dealers from Western countries were coming, you could buy this and that, you know, we will give you special price or whatever, because it was the open field for investment. For sometimes a lot of breweries died because of over-investing, you know, they died because of lack of cash flow resources. It was sudden death, you know, it simply happened. It wasn't because of commercial disaster or commercial, you know, bad politics, no. Because all the breweries could survive, but they made them fatal mistakes, you know, not in brewing, but in all the other complex, you know, activities which brewers themselves weren't prepared for. But still, all the other breweries were increasing, were getting better, and now, in some last 5-6 years, that number of breweries, existing industrial breweries, is practically stabilized, and that small gastronomy breweries are increasing. There is a rocket trend, you know. In 1990, half year after revolution, it was the only one microbrewery or pub brewery, Ufleku, existing that time for 500 years. And now it's about 100 outlets of that type.
And in the restaurant down below us, we have some rather special types of beer, all sorts of beer, banana beer, cherry beer, different flavoured beer.
Nettle beer.
what do you think of that? Is that really beer?
Yes, sure, it is. Beer is very, very wild product, you know, old, thick, 1,000 years in some Mesopotamia. Started some knowledge of fermentation beverages, you know. My friends that are running the brewery downs in this house, on the first floor or ground floor, we are cooperating, or we know each other for that 30 years, because we are still in the business. And every novel beer they are having there, I all the time test, you know.
That's One-on-One there. Chris Johnson was in conversation with Jan Vesely, the General Director of the Czech Beer and Malt Association. What a job. Anyway, moving on, time to brush up those Czech language skills. It's Jan Velinger with Soundcheck.
Dávám ti znamení, ať víš kam jít. A ty dáváš mi znamení, ať venka mít.
Welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, our Czech language course in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the popular Czech band Divoké Bill, Wild Bill, and the name of the song is Znamení, the sign. The phrase to look out for is Kosa na kámen narazí.
Ale kosa na kámen,
kosa na kámen
narazí. Kosa na kámen,
kosa na kámen,
to tě zamrazí,
to tě zamrazí.
Kosa na kámen,
kosa na kámen,
je tvý svědomí.
The English word for kosa is scythe. Kosa na kámen or kosa na kámen narazí means like a scythe hitting stone, an unexpected impact or shock. The hitting of a hidden stone while cutting tall grass. Kosa na kámen narazí, a scythe hitting stone is stopped, is the equivalent of saying someone hit the wall, or was stopped dead, or was stopped dead in their tracks. A politician who tries to push through an unpopular proposal, může narazit, can be unexpectedly stopped, say in parliament or in a general election. In Divoké Bill's song, the imagery of a scythe hitting stone, one can almost hear the ding of the scythe turned jarringly away, is a symbol, the sign implied in the title. In the song, the lyrics seem to suggest that one who hits stone should reconsider their actions, maybe even their life's direction. For Givoke Bill, Kosa na kamen is a sign, even something of a warning.
Ale kosa na kamen, narazí.
Kosa na kamen,
to tě zamrazí.
To tě zamrazí.
Kosa na kamen,
kosa na kamen,
je tvý svědomí.
Černý.
Of course, if you pride yourself on being tough, you may choose not to heed it. It may be that you're as tough as stone, tvrdý jako kámen, like a rock or tough as steel. Arnie and other Hollywood action heroes come to mind. While a Czech tough guy actor might be Marek Vašut, although that is a bit of a stretch. Scythe on stone? Arnie and co. wouldn't be put off by a mere kámen now, would they? I'm sure they'd plow straight through that field, leaving no stone unturned. Damaged scythe? Please. On the other hand, if you heed the warning, you can always decide to make a quick exit. In that case, what better way than to disappear like a stone thrown into water? Zmizel jako by kámen do vody hodil. He disappeared like he had thrown a stone into water. In other words, without a trace.
Ale kosa
na kámen
narazí.
Kosa na kámen
to tě zamrazí.
To tě zamrazí.
Kosa
na kámen
je tvý svědomí.
Černý.
Kosa
na kámen
ať víš kam jít. Jako kosa na kámen je znamení, ať víš kam jít, že křídla máš poraněný. Znamení ať víš kam jít. Jako kosa na kámen je znamení, ať víš kam jít, že křídla máš poraněný, ať víš kam jít,
ať víš kam jít.
Byl to tvoje zlý víno, sama voda.
Divoké Bill playing out soundcheck for this week. There'll be another of those along shortly. Actually, played a few gigs with that band in those dim, distant days of wanting to be a rock star. But anyway, moving on. Please do check out the website, by the way. The address, of course, is www.radio.cz. Six language versions there, plus information about all our programmes and indeed the Czech Republic. Anyway, from me, Peter Smith, it's a cloudy day here in Prague. So until next time, bye-bye.